Please hold for a very important message.
This is Jonathan Cain from Journey, and you're listening to Pastor Ed Boston on the Pastor Ed Boston Podcast.
The share part, the current event part of the Boston Prayer and Share Hour, and I want to start with did we talk any about when Joe Biden went to Mayfield, Kentucky?
Nope, but we're about to.
Well, actually, I'm not. Other than, let's just say.
You build my hopes up and then.
No, I'm going to keep this on the upside. All I'll say is that when Joe Biden there, one of his aliases kept coming up in the conversation from the crowd. I started to say fans, but it wasn't fans. Well, it was fans of Brandon. That kept coming up. And, okay, usually I can read you, but I'm not reading what's going through that mind of yours right now. Do I need to just keep moving, or do you have something that I need to just keep moving?
No. Usually that means no.
So what's going through that mind of yours?
Well, let's go, Brandon.
Oh, well, there you go. That's what they were saying. This one is former Vice President Mike Pence and his wife Karen were in Mayfield, Kentucky on Saturday to serve along with Samaritan's Purse, the Christian humanitarian group led by Franklin Graham. In a tweet, Franklin Graham said, "Thank you to former Vice President Mike Pence and his wife, Second Lady Karen Pence, for coming to Mayfield, Kentucky today to serve with our Samaritan's Purse volunteers assisting tornado victims. What an encouragement this was to residents who have been through so much and to those volunteering. He told our volunteers," and I need to click on a link to get to the rest of this.
That's what he told them?
Yep, that's what he told them. "He told our volunteers, we just wanted to come down and say thank you. Thanks for putting hands and feet to your faith. When we saw this, it broke our hearts. We knew immediately that Samaritan's Purse would be here. It is very moving for us to see you put your faith into action. Thank you for serving. It is even more moving for me to think that you're doing this during Christmas week. Your work here with volunteers from across the country is a testimony to your compassion." And Franklin says, "Thank you to the Pences for showing the love of Jesus Christ in the aftermath of this deadly storm." Now,
they weren't yelling, "Let's go, Brandon," then.
I mean, you just look at pictures and videos. I mean, look at him. He's hugging that lady right there that's holding a Bible.
How dare he?
It's just completely different. Look at that devastation.
Wow. And he's helping.
Well, and I'm not naive enough to think that that's not photo ops.
Right, that wasn't a setup thing.
But he's down there. And he's not there because he felt obligated to be there.
Right.
You know, I'm not sure what reason Joe Biden had for being there other than he's president and thinks that when he shows up that makes people feel better. And certain presidents, that would be the case. Joe Biden is not one of those presidents,
right?
In my humble opinion. There's a picture of a group of people that are there. Mike and Karen Pence here at the front, and I don't know this gentleman, but he's obviously leading this huge group of people in prayer. I don't think they showed that when Joe Biden was there.
Well, it's kind of hard to pray and yell, "Let's go, Brandon," at the same time.
Well, it is. Mike Pence praying with three other guys. And I've prayed with Mike Pence before, and no matter whether you like him or don't like him, he is who he is. A Christian, a conservative.
Well, if you look at him, he's dressed to be there.
Yeah.
He's in jeans, work boots, a hat. Oh, right.
Well, not...
He's not in...
A working coat, not really an overcoat.
Right. I mean, it's not a suit coat and suit clothes. And, I mean, he's not dressed like he's there to put on a speech. He looks like he's dressed to go and help.
And maybe there is or maybe there isn't, but I've not seen a video of him having to talk in front of a large group of people.
Right.
There he is at a makeshift memorial that's been set up. And there he is hugging the lady with the Bible.
And she's not the only one standing there holding the Bible.
One, two, that might be three. And there's only about 10 people in the picture. Three of them have Bibles in their hand.
That we can see.
Yeah, that we can see. Some of them we can't even see below their shoulders. And, boy, there's so much. In just those few pictures, there's just so much work to be done. And that's just like kind of looking at our property.
Yeah.
Or maybe our half block here.
Looks like a war zone some of them.
It certainly does. And that kind of just segues right into folks doing what they can. Kentucky Church runs out of boxes after receiving abundance of donation for tornado victims.
You know, what a good problem to have there. You know, people have really, really kicked into gear and come out in abundance to help.
Well, it was interesting that Mike Pence made note of people doing that work on Christmas week. I mean, you know, Saturday was the week before, 1 week before Christmas Day.
Right.
And I'm going to guess that the work's not going to slow down just because it's Christmas.
I mean, what better Christmas gift can you give but to help out, you know, your fellow man? Especially when they're in such need.
Dozens of churches and organizations have stepped up to collect much needed items for families who lost all of their belongings during the storms. And this isn't going to let up, because the initial wave of things going down is, you know, just basic clothing needs, toiletries, water, those kind of things. But then when things start to get further along, they lost every, you know, they don't have pots and pans, and they don't have dishes, and they don't have anything, some of them.
Right. Absolutely.
Some of them had the clothes that were on their back. And so, says locals have been lining up to drop off food, hygiene products, and cleaning supplies. One lady combed through her home for items, then asked her neighbors to do the same. She brought a truckload of stuff. And it's just people helping people.
Right.
And you know, we're sitting up here 2 to 3 hours away from there, and they're in a crisis still. And they're going to be in a crisis for a long time.
Right.
I'm thinking about, where is everybody sleeping?
Well, I'm sure that they've got like gymnasiums or auditoriums, something like that, that they've got set up for like emergency type shelter.
Samaritan's Purse is equipped with tents and things.
Right.
You know, huge tents and things like that. But still, I mean, we make that sound like, well, that's normal. They're in a gym or they're in a big tent from Samaritan's. Days after day after day. If you can't be compassionate and have an outpouring during something like this, then
absolutely,
we just need to fold it up and go home and just,
you know. And it breaks my heart, because you hear these stories of these thugs going into these big chain stores, you know, the big expensive stores, and looting and stealing, and then these stores don't press charges because they just don't want to mess with it. But these thugs need to think about all these people that are affected by these tornadoes. And, you know, take those, if you're going to steal, do something right with what you're stealing and send it to Kentucky. You know, but these people in Kentucky are probably humble enough that they wouldn't want to wear stolen goods, no matter how bad or desperate they get. You know, they wouldn't want to do that. They'd send it back to where the stores, where they got it.
If they knew.
Absolutely. They'd be sending it back. But isn't that crazy? There's thugs stealing from these big stores, making money off of it, and there's people down there living with absolutely nothing for days and days and days and weeks that have nothing. And thugs stealing, and it just is so frustrating.
Well, let's move on to a topic that is near and dear to me, and how do I want to say this? This topic is near and dear to me because it affects my family. And the topic of this article is just going to irritate the crap out of you.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
You got something to add?
That's CRH. Oh, never mind. Sorry. Oh my goodness, Amanda.
Okay, let's go into this one. The nonprofit group Wreaths Across America. They put wreaths daddy's grave.
Yeah. On all veterans' graves.
Yes, not just my daddy.
Yeah. His dad's really, really, really special.
He is.
He is. To us, he is. Absolutely.
Is guilty of carpet bombing the country's 155 national cemeteries with Christian gang signs. That is according to the leader of a group opposed to faith-based military observances. Michael Mikey Weinstein. I probably should have just deleted that, but if you know Mikey Weinstein,
punch him in the throat.
There you go. And we'll probably get blocked for that because there was something that came up the other day about bullying on one of the sites. And so...
Well...
Anyway...
I'll be gone again.
He is president of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. He wants... His word for freedom is free from religion. Not freedom for religion. He's not opposed to Christmas wreaths, but argued it's problematic to place them on thousands of veterans' tombstones across the U.S. That's like carpet bombing, he told the news site.
Carpet bombing.
That looks like it's a Christian gang sign that you're creating territory that is a Christian territory. He had said that they were indiscriminately decorating tombstones. The grave sites of Christians and non-Christians alike will be adorned with this hijacked from paganism symbol of Christianity, circular and made of evergreen to symbolize everlasting life through Jesus Christ, whether the families of the deceased veterans like it or not. And for those of you who say, well, he's got a point, just turn us off right now. Just turn us off. You know, come back the next day or whatever.
But maybe not, because we're not changing our Christian views.
Yeah, you can come back. Well, I'm talking about there may be some people that we like that think, he does make a point.
But we're still not going to change our Christian views.
No. And we're still not going to agree with him.
Absolutely not. Because that is, well, we have three dogs, and our backyard is where they go. And so all of what he just said that that guy believes in, our backyard is full of.
Well, this,
just saying.
This is a response from Wreaths Across America.
Karen
Worcester, executive director of Wreaths Across America, told Fox News her holiday-oriented, well, I don't like that, holiday-oriented organization is neither Christian nor in any way religious. In fact, she said her nonprofit has a policy against laying wreaths on tombstones marked with Jewish stars of David since starting the Goodwill Initiative in 1992. She said, Wreaths Across America has never been asked not to place wreaths on graves of veterans of other non-Christians, such as Islam. She noted her organization has never placed those wreaths unless asked by the families to do so. We live in a country where there is freedom of religion, and we respect that. And, oh man, if this happens, the Weinstein jerk is calling on President Joe Biden to condemn Wreaths Across America.
Wow.
Did that take your breath away?
Yes. That... That's sickening. Because this is something that they've done for years and years and years.
Since 1992. So, it's over 25 years. And that always gets me when things just all of a sudden become a problem that's been going on for, some things, decades and decades.
And now because one person complains about it and yells really loud, that squeaky wheel gets oiled. That's why the Christians have become the silent majority, because we sit back with our mouths hushed and we don't say anything while all these liberal other groups and people all get noticed and everything happens because they make all the sounds and all the noise and all the squeaking, and they get what they want because we all sit back and be quiet in our church pews with our hands in our laps and we say nothing.
You mean silent night taken too far?
Silent night taken too far. We sit back and be silent and say nothing, and everything else goes crazy.
That was my sermon Sunday night, Silent Night, Taken Too Far. And I kind of split the sermon into the first part talking about the song Silent Night and the biblical verses that go along with that. And then I switched it to, but are Christians taking that too far by being silent about things we shouldn't be silent
about? Absolutely.
And so it was kind of a bipolar sermon.
A bipolar sermon.
Or, it changed right in the middle.
Yeah.
And
if you missed it, you need to go back and watch it. Because it was great.
On the Father's House Facebook page is where you can find it. You'll have to scroll past the muted parts.
Wonderful Facebooks like to mute us. But it was a great sermon, and that's what it was entitled, was Silent Night Taken Too Far. And that's the problem. Christians sit back and want to be silent, and stuff like that happens.
Well, and it's the easy thing to do. You know, you don't want to ruffle any feathers. But then, guess what? When the outcome happens, and then we grumble and gripe.
Yeah, we complain and we moan and we groan, but we don't do it to the right people. We complain and we groan and we moan to each other. Well, each other don't have the resources or the ways to fix it. We need to gripe and complain and mumble and groan to the people that count, that can fix it, and we need to do it prior to the problem being
blown out.
Yeah, we need to be that squeaky wheel long before it the problem happens. We need to stop sitting back on our hands with our mouths shut.
I like that.
Well, that's the truth. We need to stop sitting back. We wouldn't have gay pride parades. We wouldn't have flags, gay flags hanging in churches. We wouldn't have transgender flags hanging all over the place. We wouldn't have all the problems we've got. We wouldn't have statues torn down. We wouldn't have nativity scenes being taken down. We wouldn't have the Ten Commandments being taken out of courtyards. We wouldn't have things like that if Christians weren't the silent majority. We need to be the squeaky wheel.
And we've been silent so long that we may not even be the majority anymore.
Well, absolutely. That's exactly right.
See how that worked? If you're the silent majority, you may become the silent minority.
And who wants to be that?
Well, not on that topic.
We need to be the ones that's loud and proud. If you can go to a ball game and you can scream and you can yell and you can cheer for the players on that court, why can't you be screaming and loud and cheering for our Jesus every single day, every place we go?
Well, we were at a ball game last Thursday night, and the gym was, well, it's a huge gym. It's like an 8,000 capacity gym, and it was close to half full.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was at least a couple thousand people there, maybe more. And, you know, the cheer blocks were doing their thing, yelling at the other team. And, you know, something good happened one way and screaming on this side. Something good happened the other way, screaming on that side. And
we're not saying go out and punch people in the throat or punch people in the face with the Bible, because that's not going to get anybody's attention. That's turning people away. We got to do it in love. But you can't just sit back and expect people to go, oh, I want what they have. If you're sitting like this, who's going to want that? You've got to show the love of Christ in the way you act and in the things you do and the excitement that you have. And people are going to go, man, I want what she's got. I want what he has. And you've got to show that by example and live that by example. And you know what? God's going to bless you in return. But if you don't show that and you sit back with your arms crossed or your hands in your lap, you're silent. And silent Christians are getting nowhere in this world. That's an obvious. I mean, this world's showing, obviously, that silent Christians get nowhere. Because this world is falling apart. And it has been for a long time because silent Christians are getting us nowhere.
I wish we were set up to where we could play music that people could easily hear. Because this would be a perfect time to pop on Casting Crowns, If We Are the Body. The lyrics say, it's crowded in worship today as she slips in trying to fade into the faces. The girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know, farther than they know. And then here's the chorus. If we are the body, why aren't our arms reaching? Why aren't our hands healing? Why aren't our words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them? There is a way, there is a way. And, you know, I won't read the rest of the lyrics because it's kind of long. But if we're the body, we all got to take our part. And so if you're, I almost said something that would have probably made you laugh hysterically. I almost said I was looking at my hand. Okay, let's say you're the ring finger. So maybe that'll narrow what I almost said.
If you're the bird.
If you're the ring finger, you need to be the best ring finger that you can be, because you're important. You hold the ring. And if you were gone, then the ring wouldn't be in the right spot. It would have to be moved somewhere else. And so if you're the body and part of the body, whatever part of the body you are, then you need to be the very best you can. You need to reach out and touch people. And sometimes you feel like touching them in negative ways, but we've got to reach out, lay hands on somebody and pray with them and pray for them. Why aren't our hands healed? Do you believe in the power of healing? Excuse me, do you believe in laying on hands and commanding the illness to come out of somebody? Jesus did that. His disciples did that. If his disciples could do it, then why can't we? We're just humans, just like they were humans. Why aren't his words teaching? Every time we get an opportunity, we need to teach. And Christian values, but things like this. Teach our children about the greatest generation, because they ain't going to learn it from anywhere. You know, the odds of them coming in contact with somebody from the greatest generation at this point in time are practically slim to none.
Right.
You know, just a few more years and there won't be any of the greatest
and
generation.
And that is sad.
To me, that's heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking.
Why aren't our feet going? I mean, why aren't we sharing his love and showing love? And there is a way. There is a way. But we got to do it. Sitting around being silent, you know, it doesn't say anything about the, well, it does say words teaching. You know, if you're sitting back and you're not saying a word and you're supposed to be the mouth.
Well, and it's hard for some of us to be able to go out and think, well, I'm going to share the love of God today because I'm going to go out and teach somebody and let them know that Jesus loves them. Some of us are not eloquent in that because we don't know, you know, how to tell somebody that verse whatever in the book of whatever, because I am one of those people. My stroke ruined my memory, and I don't care how many times I sit and read or I listen to, I write it down. I cannot remember what book, what verse. I just cannot remember it.
But see, God wouldn't make you the mouth.
Absolutely. He's going to use me in another way. He can, there are stories that I remember, but I've got the knowledge and the know-how to Google and say, okay, here it is in this book, and I can look it up, and I can show somebody, I can tell them, and I can remember a certain story or whatever. And I have other ways of doing it besides. Rob is a perfect example of being able to pop off book, verse, chapter, everything right off the top of his head. I cannot do that. I'm not a good teacher. Not a good teacher.
But you're a good contributor. In a Bible study, you have lots of insight about topics that are being talked about. And we'll move on with do your role. She does her role, and she does it well. And God won't give you more than you can do. God's not going to make you the mouth, or he's not going to make you the eyes if you're not qualified.
Right.
And the thing is about what you're talking about, going out and talking to people, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will put the words in your mouth that you need. And so don't fret.
Right.
And I know I'm saying that, and I know people will, because that's human nature. But, you know, have faith like Noah.
Yeah.
That God will put the words in your mouth through his Holy Spirit.
And that's true.
Amen, it's true. Remember Isis?
Yes.
You know.
The kinder and gentler ones?
Well, that was the Taliban. But that all fits together because, you know, ISIS was history, the Taliban was history, and all good things were history. I mean, in the northern province of Cabo Delgado, Africa, last week, suspected ISIS-linked extremists beheaded a pastor, then forced his wife to carry the severed head to police.
Oh, my heavens.
You know, when people think that, when we talk about persecution and things like that, and we say things like, they'll chop your head off, do you think we're exaggerating now?
Wow.
Not only did they chop it off, they made his wife carry it. Can you imagine that she probably threw up about every other step?
Well, probably.
According to International Christian Concern, the pastor's identity has not been released yet, and he was a resident of Nova Zambeza. And it's all in the neighborhood of Mozambique.
My goodness.
Following the pastor's death, ISIS boasted that its affiliate had murdered dozens of security personnel and Christians, including Westerners in what they called Crusader nations. Islamic extremists have unleashed a reign of terror in northern Mozambique, leaving churches burned to the ground, people beheaded, and tens of thousands displaced and traumatized. We talk about the persecuted church on a regular basis, and we don't even, ours is like spitting in the ocean as to what we talk about and what's really, really happening out there.
Wow.
Man,
that's awful.
I don't know. I don't cry a whole lot, but stories like this make me feel like crying. I mean, this guy's out there doing what we were talking about, being the body.
Right.
He was the body. He was the mouthpiece. And because of that, they chopped his head off.
Wow. And to me, that's no different than a police officer dying in the line of duty. That man died in the line of duty.
He did. I mean, he gave his life for what he believed in.
Absolutely.
And the scriptures say, no greater love has a man than that, to give his life for someone else. And
wow.
You know, those terrorists can be forgiven, but if not, they got a special place in hell for them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Stories like that make me want to throw up just to even read them.
Wow.
Several well, there's several news stories that we could continue on with, but I don't feel like talking about news anymore.
Okay.
That, you know, sometimes you read something and it affects you, but then you read it again and it just like takes the wind out of your sails. And, you know, it's almost like you're reading that out of a book or something, that maybe even a fiction book. That,
right.
United Nations has placed a giant statue in New York that seems to resemble an end times beast from the New Testament book of Revelation. The UN recently tweeted a photo of the statue, a guardian for international peace, this is a quote, and security sits on the visitors plaza outside the UN headquarters. The guardian is a fusion of jaguar and eagle, and donated by the government of Oaxaca, Mexico. Oaxaca. I think that, well, it's close. So basically a city in Mexico. Countless critics on social media are saying the statue appears to be the likeness of the beast the prophet Daniel wrote about in the Old Testament and the apostle John wrote about in the book of Revelation. Listen to this. Daniel chapter 7 verses 2 through 4 says, Daniel spake and said, I saw a vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. The four beasts came up from the sea, divisive from one another. First was like a lion and had wings, eagle's wings. Lion, jaguar, pretty darn close. Eagle's wings, the people that gave the statue said that that's what it was, eagle's wings. The Apostle John described the beast with similar features in the New Testament passage in Revelation 13:2. And it says, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. Leopard, jaguar. Boy, we're getting even closer now. And his feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth was as a mouth of a lion. Now let me go back up here. Is that a mouth of a lion?
Looks like the name.
Sure looks like it. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Another Bible verse that's evoked by this statue is... the statue is supposed to represent peace and security. But in 1 Thessalonians 5, 2, and 3, this end times warning says this. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. Folks, if that beast is not a representation of what Daniel, John, and then in Thessalonians, that would be Paul, have shared, I don't know how much closer you... I mean, it's almost like that they were looking at Scripture when they designed this, and it's quite possible they did. I mean, it could be done totally intentional. It could be that Satan used somebody and you know, unknowingly they did this to look just like what the Scripture is saying. But we have got to be ready. This, listen to this. The Lord will come just like a thief in the night while they are saying peace and safety. And so the UN statue is peace and security. Can't get much closer than that. Right. I mean, those two words mean the same thing, basically. Destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. I mean,
wow.
There's got to be a beginning to labor pains. You got to have the first one.
Yep.
And I would guess that, you know, like the hour before, you're not necessarily thinking, I'm going to have labor pains an hour from now. I mean, you kind of know something's coming.
Right.
But it comes so fast.
Right.
And when it hits, it hits.
Right.
And there's no denying what's going to happen. I mean, the eastern sky is going to split and Jesus is on his way. And guess what? Then it's too late. It's too late. And for those who put this off, it scares me to death. It's like a thief in the night, and you don't get another chance. So you got to make the best of the chance you have right now. Why would you want to wait until tomorrow or next week or next month?
There's no do-overs.
Yeah, there's no do-overs. It's heaven or hell. You know, I don't mean to be, you know, yes, I do. I don't mean it to be hyped. I mean it sincere. There's heaven and there's hell. There's no in between. You'll either be in heaven with God the Father or you'll be in hell with Satan forever and ever. And when you think it's been forever, it'll keep going.
Yep.
It'll keep going. One commentator said that the statue looks like something out of a science fiction movie, not resembling any known creature on the planet. Did they really think they could put this up without anyone noticing? I'm pretty sure they don't care.
Yeah, I think they...
There's no way that at this point they don't know.
Right.
Well, I mean, with all of the uproar and outpouring of sentiments about it,
right,
there's no way that they don't know it. And so they're basically just going to say, we don't care what you Christians think, which we're kind of used to.
Right. Well, yeah, we hear that enough.
So get this. You can't put the Ten Commandments there, but you can put the beast that's referenced in Daniel, Revelation, and Thessalonians.
Absolutely. How much sense does that make?
Try to take the Ten Commandments there. Now, we're both fans of Greg Locke. I know Roberta is a fan of Greg Locke, and she reminded me of this today because Roberta wanted to know what we was talking about tonight, so she likes to prepare herself. Certain topics get to her more than others, and so I told her what I was going to be talking about, and she mentioned, and I don't know if you were listening when I had it on the other night, but Greg Locke said he's going to New York City, and he's going to preach on top of the beast.
On top of the beast?
Yep, on top of the beast.
Standing on it?
That's what he
said.
Oh,
you go, Greg Locke. Wow.
I'm going to guess that he ends up in jail that day.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he will.
And
and I don't think that he will care. His church just handed out, $100,000?
It was $50,000 in envelopes, and then he wrote another $20,000 check.
Oh, okay.
Church.
I was thinking that it added up to be... I mean, I thought he handed out so much, and then he handed out another so much, and then $20,000 to a church that it all totaled like $100,000.
It was close. Because
he did reverse giving.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
What he did was he wrote out 100 checks, each of them for $500. Left the two blank. And there was way more than 100 people that were there for that. It was an outdoor service in the parking lot because the tent got damaged in the tornadoes. So, and it didn't seem like it was bitter cold, but I mean, they had coats on and
right.
It wasn't warm by any stretch of the imagination. And he said, for those who are in need, he kind of put that little preface on there. For those that are in need, I want you to come up and get an envelope. And he said, if those 100 envelopes don't cover, he said, I'll write checks until we're done covering. I think it ended up being 136. So the 100 was 50,000. You might be right. It's going to be getting close to 100.
What?
You're right. You might be right, is what I said. Might be. You're closer to right than just 70,000. But
y'all heard that, right? Okay. Merry Christmas, Amy.
Another person said, was this the beast John saw in Revelation in his vision of the end times, given power by the dragon, which represents the serpent and Satan, over all peoples, languages, and nations, the United Nations, copied from Angela Renee. She wrote, folks, you just can't make this stuff up. The absolute most important thing in your life is to know Jesus, not to know of him, but to know him, she concluded. And I can't say that any... Look at those...
Look at that.
Well...
That just... Oh, my goodness.
Let me do this.
That makes my skin want to crawl.
Let's see.
Man. Man.
Let me see how I need to adjust this.
This is pathetic. Oh,
it left.
This is so sad, because this is why I was talking about the other day, the silent Christians. We've been silent for so long, we've allowed something like this to sneak in.
See if it, when it,
well,
there. I'm not thinking you can get
tilt it back just a tad. Well, you can't see it really, really well.
Just Google search it.
Oh, I think we froze. No, maybe not.
Just Google search it. You'll
Mary
find
said
it.
To send that to her.
I'll do that.
This is what I was talking about. The Christians have been silent for so long, and now we've got this, the beast. And
there's YouTubes about it.
Oh my goodness, this just makes you want to puke.
Well, but the thing is, for those who are ready, this is good news.
Well,
the bad news is that people that we know very well and love very much are going to end up in hell.
But you know what? This is attractive to those people. And this is going to draw people to want to go look at it. And this is going to be a sightseer's spectacle.
Well, can you imagine teenagers? They're going to think this is the coolest
absolutely
thing ever.
Absolutely, they
and have no clue what it represents.
They absolutely are not. And it's going to draw them into it. And they're going to be, oh, this is cool. And they're going to be taking pictures, and they're not going to have a clue. And it's going to come in like
a thief in the night.
Like a thief in the night.
And I'll send this to Mary real quick.
It is, it's sad, is what it is.
Well, and it's sad that people don't understand. Is that even possible to be a coincidence?
Well, absolutely not.
It's not
absolutely
even possible.
Absolutely not possible that it is all so coincidental. I mean, it just is not coincidental.
It can't be. There's two answers to that. It's either intentionally made to look like it, or it's satanic.
There you have it.
And if you don't believe number one, go back to number two, because it's satanic no matter which
way
you look.
No matter which you are.
But I'm just saying.
Well, absolutely. Randy, come on in. Randy's in the house.
All the way from Canada.
Absolutely. Welcome, Randy.
So, it's possible that a person has been duped by Satan. I'm thinking it's not likely, though. I'm thinking, no. I'm thinking the person knew full well
what they were doing.
I totally believe that.
And it's just, oh my goodness, it's sickening. Sickening.
And there's nothing more important than that. You know, there's things going on in the news, and the trial ended up in Minnesota, and the police officer was found guilty of first degree and second degree manslaughter, and we could talk about that, and we're not going to because we're already at 46. We could talk about the tornadoes. We could talk about a lot of things. I've got some things pulled up that I was going to talk about, and let me see. There was one. Yeah, I mean, here's a story that we would have talked about. Protecting female abuse victims, federal court rules Anchorage cannot force Christian women's shelter to admit transgender males. So that's a good thing. The courts ruled in favor of protecting women.
In Anchorage.
If they
can do it way up there, why can't we do it all the way around?
We should be.
It only makes sense.
There's two different manufacturers of a pill that is taken right after you find out you have COVID, and it is supposed to do what the vaccine does. Because the vaccine doesn't keep you from COVID anymore. The vaccine's just to control the side effects. It's to control not going to the hospital and make it less likely that you die. So this pill, and one of the two that was introduced yesterday, so they back-to-back days have talked about these pills that you take after you get COVID. You can't wait. I mean, it's got to be in the first, I think, 3 to 5 days. But...
Well, so, how much do they know about that one?
Well...
They just pulled that one out of the air.
Well, I did read where... they actually had work going on this, I think, kind of... designed toward something other than COVID.
Amen, Beth. Amen.
What's that?
She said, now if we can only get the lower 48 to wise up.
Well, that's true.
And yes. I am not going up there to live to... No.
So there's all kinds of stories that we could talk about. But tonight... That was the story to me.
Absolutely.
And I mean, it's been up for a while. I even talked about last Friday, because last week we weren't here on Thursday. We did on Friday. I talked about getting prepared for this week, because I didn't want to just be throw a story out. And we could have talked about this. People are getting vaccine passport microchips embedded into their hands as COVID advances the internet of bodies. Let's see.
Well, we did kind of talk about that with the beast.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The mark, the beast, the chip. Yeah. Doesn't that all intertwine?
Revelation.
Isn't that all coincidental?
Something about 666 is going to come up soon.
Oh, wait a minute.
I think we would all find all of that in end time prophecy.
I've been living in end time prophecy then, because, you know, birthday. Well,
yeah, Amy's date of birth is 6664.
Oh, well, thanks.
And if you'll have to do the math in order to figure out how old she is.